Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
Grateful, grateful, grateful for Pastor Harvey and Pastor Russell last week, continuing our series called The GOAT. And as you heard, we're going to talk about Jesus is the GOAT of love. And we're going to unpack why. Some of you are like, well, I understand that, but how is he? And we're going to unpack that a little bit. And hopefully, this is my prayer for all of us today. It comes from Ephesians 3, 17, 18. This is my prayer. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Let me pray for you. God, would Ephesians 3, 17 and 18, would you help us this morning to grasp just the depth of your love, just even one more degree, whatever we thought it was, it's even more than that. And so God, would you help us to right size who you are and who we aren't, and how you extended a hand of love towards us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus is the GOAT of love. Matter of fact, I mentioned this in week one, every major religion honors Jesus because of his love. And he didn't just heal lepers, he actually touched them. When nobody else would touch a leper, he touched them. He could have healed them from far away, but he said, no, I want you to feel the love, not just the healing. And he would heal them and then touch them as well. Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He welcomed the outcast. He sat with sinners. He gave sight to the blind. And ultimately, he surrendered his life on the cross. And he did all of that for you and for me. He said, hey, I got to figure out a way to tell the world how much I love them. And God and Jesus came up with the cross. That was the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate marketing campaign that Jesus had to tell you and me that I love you. And there's not anything I wouldn't do for you. Now, if you grew up in the church or if you've been coming to the church for a while, you heard this over and over and over. And I grew up in the church and I heard it over and over and over. And so sometimes when you hear a message over and over and over again, maybe it's your parents saying, I love you. Well, they're supposed to. I just hear it all the time. Or your spouse. Well, I just hear it all the time. No. There's power behind that. And I would hear all the time that Jesus loved me. And then at the age of 16, it hit me. I'm a mess. Why would he love me? Like, I am a mess. And at 16 years old, on a brick road, walking home, 10 o'clock at night, I was just overwhelmed with my depravity and God's goodness. And I made it a point to surrender my life because I was overwhelmed with his love. And I said, I'm gonna spend the rest of my life pursuing that love. And some of you know what I'm talking about because that's exactly what you've done as well. You've been overwhelmed with the kindness of God, amen? You and I know about this love, but we're not the only ones. People that don't believe in God, they understand that our message is one of love. And they expect both Christians and the church to be loving. And what they don't understand is people that say they are Christians but come across as unloving. And what they want is they want nothing to do with that person and nothing to do with that religion. And so let me just tell you this. If you've been hurt by somebody that believes in Jesus, I've been hurt. We've all probably been hurt. I just want you to know off the top, I'm sorry. Love is the goal, but we're not perfect. I'm not making excuses. I just want you to know there's real church pain. And I just think that if you had church pain, but you're still here or listening to this message, that means you're leaning in and I'm proud of you. We are called to love, but that doesn't mean we're perfect. One of my favorite all-time bands is a band by the name of Switchfoot. We got any Switchfoot fans? A couple of y'all. All right, let's go. So this is me. They asked me to play with them one time. And so I was, I can't be a musician? Jeez, tough crowd. Okay, so I was never in the band, but I did get the photo with them. I've been to so many of their concerts, love them. They are a surf rock band based out of San Diego, all believers. I just love their lyrics, very poetic, and point to Jesus. Just a great band, and they have a song called Love is the Movement, and this is the chorus to that song, just a snippet of the chorus. It says this. Y'all want me to sing it? I ain't Pastor John, all right? Okay. No. These are the lyrics. Love is the movement. Love is a revolution. This is redemption. What Jesus came is he came to create a movement. And the movement was love. Love is a movement. And here's the deal. When you and I raised our hands and surrendered our lives to Jesus, what we said is we want to get in on the movement that is love. And there is no, I'm going to believe in God and Jesus and separate it from love. There is no. What you and I are signing on as believers is a movement called love. Everything about it, the foundation is love. It says that God is love. Love is the movement. It's one of the reasons why it caught my attention. A buddy of mine comes to Journey. He's a Journey member. His name's Antonio Gibson. Antonio, in June, had a special encounter. You see, Antonio is the head basketball coach for the Special Olympics. And not only that, they started getting better and better, and he started going further and further into the tournament. And then in June, it was the Special Olympics right here in Orlando, Florida, Wide World Sports. And so he invited me, and so I was able to go and watch some of his team play, and lo and behold, they ended up winning the gold medal. Isn't that cool? Oh, y'all are just saturated with gold medal friends? I mean, seriously? If you didn't like that, you're not going to like this next part. I don't know what to tell you. And so I got to go out, and I got to watch a game and just be in the atmosphere of the Special Olympics. And as soon as the game was over, I said, you and I need to talk, because I'm doing a message on love, and I want to interview you about it, because I just saw love played out. So with that said, this is my friend, Antonio Gibson. Today, I am here with a friend of mine and a Journey member, Antonio Gibson. Good to have you, my friend.
Yeah, good to be here.
Real good to have you. And first of all, and we're going to talk about this. I'm super excited. You just won. You are the head basketball coach for the basketball team Special Olympics.
Yes.
And in June, you just won a gold medal.
Yes,
we did. So congratulations.
Yes, we did.
Right here, Journey, you have a gold medalist coach among you, and you didn't even know it. So proud of you and super excited. And this man loves the Lord, loves his family, and just really cool. And that's evident through your coaching of the Special Olympics basketball team.
When I started with Special Olympics, I really had to step back and say, okay, this isn't about me anymore. This isn't about wins and losses. This is about them and them reaching goals and them feeling as though they've accomplished some tasks. And when they bought in, that's really when our team took that next step. And that's what made us prepared or staged us to play for gold.
That's cool. And here's the cool thing. This year, the Special Olympics was in Orlando at Disney's Wide World of Sports. 125,000 spectators.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. The theme this year was shine as one. What did the athletes, or what did this experience, what did God teach you just about love?
When you bring everybody together and everyone is on that same purpose and using that shine on, how bright, how the energy that came off of that 10 days, there had to be some glow going on for that positive energy of just celebration. And it wasn't even the wins. I watched athletes coming and hugging each other, celebrating each other, helping each other up.
Yep.
When someone went down because of injury, they hovered and they wanted to make sure this person, although I've never met you, you're from another state, but you're competing. I want to make sure you were okay.
Yeah.
And that just warmed my heart. I was just like, okay, I want to be back. Minnesota, y'all got to invite me back. I don't know.
Is that where it is next?
Next 4 years in Minnesota. That's where it'll be.
Yeah, there's just a sense of, I mean, when you talk about love, it's selfless. And that's what was happening
at the Special Olympics. And just grateful for you, grateful for how you displayed that. You displayed it beautifully, and I got to watch that firsthand and sharing the love of Jesus out at Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, cool. So proud of Antonio and just his whole family. Incredible man of God. And as I watched there, that theme, shine as one, just radiated. And I was thinking about the idea that not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they wear whistles. Jesus is the goat of love. This is what he says in John chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open it to John chapter 13. John is in the New Testament. The Bible split up Old Testament, New Testament. John's and the New Testament's one of the Gospels. And this is what it says in John. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to have it on the screen. Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is what he says. He says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So not only did Jesus live it out, he preached love. And there's four kind of insights that I see with this passage from Jesus. And if you're taking notes, you can write this first one down. It's this: Jesus loved with compassion. Jesus loved with compassion. In John 13:33, he says, my children, I will be with you a little longer. This is the only time in scripture that Jesus addresses the disciples as children. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of compassion. And he's saying, my children, as if he has deep love. From nowhere else in scripture does it share that. This is compassion. Compassion is to understand someone's suffering and to feel compelled to ease their pain. Jesus consistently loved with compassion. Matthew 14:14, it says this, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and he healed their sick. He had compassion and then it led to an action. You see, for Jesus, compassion was often a prerequisite to action. Before there was love, there was compassion. And some of us, we can preach and talk about love all day long, but we're not gonna get anywhere if we don't first have compassion for those around us. I saw this played out last month. My family and I, we were on vacation. We went to New Smyrna Beach. Any New Smyrna Beach fans? Love New Smyrna Beach? Come on. Love New Smyrna Beach. And my wife and I decided, let's rent some bikes and let's ride our bikes to the jetty. So we thought we'd ride our bikes to the jetty. A couple little things with that. It was high tide. And so what that means is there's not a huge beach to ride your bike on. Really, the only spot to ride is on the road where the cars are going, which means it's kind of thicker sand, which is not a problem for the cars. A little bit of a problem for the bikers. So we decide to do it, and it's about 3 or 4 miles, and we go, not too big of a deal. And we go there, we go to the jetty, and then we turn around, and we didn't realize a big problem. What we didn't realize, it wasn't that big of a problem because the wind was at our back. And I didn't realize that. I just thought I was Superman. So I was going. And then when we turned around, the wind was so strong, it literally felt impossible for us to pedal back. I mean, literally, as we were pedaling, we were coming to a stop to the point where we would just tip over. And again, there wasn't a lot of room to ride. And so if you're familiar with New Smyrna Beach, there is a 1-mile-long boardwalk at the jetty. And so my wife and I said to her, I said, listen, we have 3 kids. They're waiting for us. This is taking way longer than we thought. And it's dinner time. So they're starting to get hangry. We got to get back and take care of business. Let's take our bikes on the boardwalk. We'll get on the boardwalk and then we'll take the roads back and stay off the beach. That'll get us there a lot faster. No sand, no wind. And we'll get there a lot faster, 3 or 4 miles away. So we do that. We pick the bikes up, put them on the boardwalk, and we start going. Literally, there's not one person on the boardwalk until we see this one gentleman. Okay, the boardwalk is 8 feet wide and there's only one person on it and we're biking and we are on the right side. And as we approach him, we slow down almost to a walk and just friendly, hey, how you doing? And at the same time as I'm saying hi, he just goes off on us, just lays into me. I guess this was the king of the boardwalk. And there is a rule that you're not supposed to ride bikes on the boardwalk. And he wasn't going to let me go with a warning. So he just starts yelling at me. And I'm in single file. I'm in front. And then my wife behind. And then I keep going. And then he lays into her. And then we keep going. And I told my wife, I said, I don't ever want to be that guy. Come to find out, you're not allowed to have bikes on the boardwalk. And I told my wife that, and she didn't care. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Here's the deal. He was correct, but he wasn't right. And I got a sad picture of what Christians can look like. We can be correct in what we say, but wrong in how we say it. And there is some theology that we believe in that we're telling the world, and it's correct, but how we're doing it is all wrong. And there are people that are having interactions with us, and they say, I don't ever want to be like that person. Not because of what they're saying, but how they're saying it. Why? Because that gentleman lacked compassion. He didn't know that my three kids were waiting. He didn't understand that we were going against the wind. He didn't know we were trying to take a shortcut. And I get all that. I'm not justifying my sin on the boardwalk. But what I'm saying is he didn't take the time to understand our story or even have compassion. He just barked rules. And a lot of times the world hears the rules of the church minus the compassion of the church. And let's start leading with compassion to hear people's story. Doesn't change our theology. We don't water anything down. We just change the messenger, not the message. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let me translate what it's saying. Without love, we're just annoying. I mean, really. I mean, am I wrong? It says, if I speak of tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Isn't a gong annoying? No offense, drummers. Like, isn't that annoying? Like, that's what we sound like to the world without love. And this gentleman on the boardwalk shared that brilliantly. And that's okay for the world, but it's not okay for the church. It's not okay for Christ's followers. Second thing we learn from John 13 is this. Jesus' love had a cost. It says this, you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I'll tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Jesus was foretelling about his crucifixion, about him being handed over and tortured. You see, his love was so big that he paid a price on the cross. One of the things I tell our residents here, these are our residents, our people that come here for 2 years to get trained and equipped for ministry. I said, one of the greatest things you can do is fall in love with the community that God puts you in, because people do crazy things when they're in love. Fall in love with the community that God puts you in. Some of you know this. When you dated or got married, we do crazy things for love, right? My daughter recently turned 17 years old, and we asked her, we said, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday? And due to poor parenting, I guess, I don't know what the deal is, she came up with a horrible idea. She said, listen, I don't want any presents. All I want to do is swim with sharks. And I was like at SeaWorld? She said, no, like not the small baby ones in aquarium, like big ones in the wild in the ocean. Great. Well, I want $1 million. So happy birthday. That's not going to happen. Okay. So here we are on a boat. Here we are on a boat, wetsuits on our way to go swim with sharks. And before we swim with sharks, on land, they tell us all these things, what not to do. And they prepare, I mean, obviously this is a big deal. They prepare you and they cover you. Your toes aren't showing, you have gloves on. They don't want anything showing. These are wild animals. They're big, they're aggressive. And as we are going on the boat, I just had an epiphany. I asked the captain, I said, Captain, surely the sharks are not just hanging out waiting for us. And he said, no, no. I said, well, how do we get them? And he said, remember everything we told you not to do? We're gonna do that to attract the shark. And that's normally not enough. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna chum the water. This is a bloody fish. He cuts it, puts it in the water with us to attract sharks. And then this happens. That's a shark. That's a big shark. This is an attacking shark. This is chum. Do you know what's happening? I don't want that. I want this. Okay? Ignores that, focuses on this. This is a bull shark. A big bull shark. I have zero desire to swim with sharks. But because I love my daughter, I'll swim with her anywhere. Why? Because love makes you do crazy things. Maybe we're not loving our neighbors practically because we don't love them at all. Maybe we don't care about our coworkers because it lacks love. When you love people, you do things that don't make sense. You stay late, you spend money, you cost time. You do things you would never do, like swim with sharks. Jesus took on the cross because his love for you was greater than his fear of the cross. My love for my daughter was greater than my fear for sharks. She was excited the entire time. I was terrified the entire time. True story. His love for you and me was greater than his fear of the cross. One of our staff members, Anthony Suarez, he understands this. This is Anthony. Anthony is out at Lake County. He's our student coordinator out at Lake County. And you guys got a great one. Anthony's doing an absolutely incredible job. And last Sunday, Anthony heard that a widow needed some help moving into her home. And so Anthony, it's already a busy Sunday. Anthony makes some phone calls and calls Caleb, who is our worship leader standing right there, Cass, who serves here in Apopka, and Tim. And he calls them and he says, hey, I have this opportunity. Is there any way that you could help? Let's move this widow in. Now listen, this is what you need to know. All these people, I know them. They're not bored. They're not bored. They're not rich. They don't have endless time. They don't have endless gas. This opportunity cost them. Cost them time, cost them money, cost them gas. They had to rearrange things. Anthony, I gotta imagine it cost him to just ask his friends to help. But what Anthony understands is that love comes with a price tag. And he didn't think any of that because his love for this widow was greater than the sacrifice that he was willing to do. And I love that about them. Can we give them a big round of applause? Isn't that cool? So cool. Anthony, crew, y'all are rocking it. Keep it up. I'm proud of you. Next thing we learn about Jesus is this. Jesus' love was a commandment. John 13:34 says this, a new command I give you, love one another. First of all, that's not a new command. A new command I give you, love one another. That's not a new command. This is all throughout the Old Testament. They would have already known this. Here's the new command. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's the new command. So if the bar on love was here, Jesus said, we're gonna raise the bar. That's what believers do. We raise the bar of love. Whatever we think the world is, whatever we think other believers are, we raise the bar when it comes to love. There was a preacher teaching a class, a Bible study, and he said, hey, what do you do with the commandments in the Bible? And this old lady in the back, she raised her hand and the pastor caught her and said, yes, what do you do? She said, I underlined them in blue. The pastor thought, well, it's not really what I was asking, but I guess that will be okay. And what sometimes in the church, what we do when we hear God's commandments is we underline them in blue, and that's not the first step, that's the last step. And when Jesus gives us a commandment, it isn't just to underline it in blue and then let it be there. It is a commandment for us to go and do it. It is our job description for today. It is our job description for tomorrow. The new command is simple enough for a toddler to memorize, yet it's so profound that it's difficult for even the most seasoned believer to never stumble with it. It's to love as Christ loved. It's one of the things I witnessed at the Special Olympics. The thing that was beautiful, there were 20,000 volunteers and 125,000 spectators. I think one of the reasons why it was so special is because it felt literally like every single person there was focused on somebody other than themselves. That's love. I want to ask you to humor me and do an exercise with me if you could. If you are in Lake County, I want you to join me as well. If you are online, I want you to join me. I want everybody to go ahead and take out their phone. Go ahead and take out their phone and go ahead and open up your camera app. Listen, if you are online, listening, watching at the gym, go ahead and do it. If you are anywhere other than driving, if you're driving, don't do it. Everybody take out your phone, take out the camera. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take a selfie. Where's crowd participation? Go ahead, take a selfie. Take a selfie. You can take a selfie. Some of you, this is your first ever selfie, and God's going to bless you. It's going to be incredible. Okay? All right. Some of y'all are naturals. Well done. You just took a selfie. How many of that was your first ever selfie? Hey, good job. Good job. That was awesome. When the smartphone came out, there was a craze for this selfie, but this is what I know. There is another lens in your phone. Keep your cell phone out. There is another lens that's not pointed at you, it's pointed at others. Go ahead and take a picture of anybody else. It could be a random stranger. Just freak them out. It's okay. I do it all the time at the mall. It's great. Okay? I don't do that. Hey, listen. This is what we're supposed to do. When we gave our lives to Jesus, what we were committing to is that we would stop using the lens to focus on ourselves. And we begin to zoom in on others. That's called love. What we made the commitment to do was to no longer view the world for our needs and desires, but to see people and how we could serve them. And what we have to do is zoom out of ourselves and zoom in on other people. And that's love. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul. Paul literally called himself the GOAT, the greatest of all time, but not like Jesus. He was the opposite. He called himself the chief of sinners. He literally said, I'm so bad, I am the GOAT of sin. Literally. And then he met Jesus and the love of God that changes lives, and it changed everything. He went from chief of sinners to writing 1 Corinthians, and this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. He literally is writing on love after being a chief of sinners. He says that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Listen, some of y'all have heard this at weddings and you thought it's only for a wedding. It was never meant for a wedding. It was meant for revival. That's what it was meant for. How does somebody go from being the chief of sinners to writing one of the most beautiful definitions of love? It's because his life was radically changed by the GOAT of love. He experienced love like no other, and instead of hoarding love, he just outputted love. And that's what we're called to do. That's what love does. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Paul went on to say this. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. It's one of my favorite pictures and statues right here. This statue was created with that verse in mind. That there is a stripping of the old and the new is here. How does Paul go from being the chief of sinners to living and exemplifying love? Because the old is gone in Christ. And you're a new creation. Some of you are thinking, man, you don't understand. I can't love like that. No, you don't understand. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. Maybe you used to be stingy, but now you're generous. Maybe you used to make every conversation about you. Now you just want to learn about others. Maybe you used to be a critic of everyone and everything, and now you're just an encouraging machine. Maybe you used to expect everybody to serve you, and now you're just consistently looking for ways. How does that happen? Because you're a new creation. That's what love does. Love is the movement. The last thing we see Jesus display with love. In John 13:35 is this: Jesus' love comes with a promise. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Matthew 5, Jesus gives an illustration. He says this, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In the lobby for Summer Jam, got kids camp this week. There's a big lighthouse. That's the picture of the church. You are a bright light to a dark world. How? By your love for one another. Not by how well you know the rules about the boardwalk. Not how well you tell other people, but how well you love other people. That's how you're a light to the world. That's how you and I shine as one, which I love that theme from the Special Olympics, shine as one. Here's some questions. Some of you, I think we all kind of are biased and think we're all loving. We think we're loving and other people have issues. So here are some questions just to figure out where your gauge is, your love meter gauge. I just want to go over some questions that come from 1 Corinthians 13. It's this: am I becoming more or less patient? Am I becoming more or less patient? Am I becoming more or less kind? Am I becoming more envious or more generous? Am I becoming more prideful or more encouraging? Am I honoring others more than myself? Am I self-seeking more than others focused? The last one, am I becoming more easily angered? Those all come from 1 Corinthians 13 to gauge where we're at. And I'm not suggesting we solve all of those at night, but maybe you just pick one of those and say, God, would you help me with this? Help me to be more loving. I told you at the beginning that my favorite band is Switchfoot. And some of you, you have no idea what that word even means. What is Switchfoot? That's a weird name for a band. Well, if you understand the surfing culture, one, I told you that they're a surf rock band based out of San Diego. And so the lead singer, John Foreman, he said this. He said, we all love to surf, and we've been surfing all of our lives. So to us, the name made sense. It's a surfing term. It says this: to switch your feet means to make a new stance facing the opposite direction. It's about change and movement, a different way of approaching life. Maybe some of you today, you need to switch your feet. Maybe you've been living one way your whole life and you need to switch your feet and face a totally different direction. And you need to let love be the movement. But Jesus as the foundation of your life. My prayer for you at the beginning, you being rooted and established in love, may you have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. Jesus exemplified love. That was he made the first move. The second move is on you and me. We get to respond to that. Our response is called worship. And we get to choose whether or not we worship him. And my prayer is this: would you not miss the love of God today? That you would surrender, either for the first time or once again, in full, to live for Jesus and to make love be the movement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. God, you are all powerful. God, we are just finite beings. You have all power. You are everywhere. You know everything. You could easily treat us like that guy on the boardwalk. You could just jam your fist and you could pound us and you could yell at us and there'll be nothing we can do. But yet you come to us with a towel over your arm as a servant. You come to us in the name of love. You come to us with compassion and peace and patience and gentleness and joy. And you surrendered and climbed onto a cross. And you stretched out your arms and you said, I love you this much. And God, our only response is to say we love you too. by surrendering our lives to you. And so today we worship you. And I pray if there's anybody online in Lake County, right here in Apopka, that does not know your love, would they embrace your love for the first time today? And would their life never be the same? Would they take up a new movement, and would love be the central theme of their life? God, I pray, would you help us as the church to get out of selfie mode and to begin to zoom in on our neighbors, our coworkers, or the people down the street? Would it be more about them and less about us? And God, I pray, just like in Apopka, in the atrium, that we would be a lighthouse for the world to see. Not so that we get the glory, not so they're talking about our name or journey, but so that they're talking about the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Your love messes with us. Would you help us to give it away? In Jesus' name.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week, so make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.